This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What makes a church grow? That's a very common question, and we're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all pray. We love your church, Lord Jesus, but sometimes we wonder about its future. The pews are sometimes empty, and some of the people are very apathetic. Help us, O Lord, to learn from you how you have built your church from day one, and that there can be no substitutes in reaching out to people with the gospel of Christ and the establishing of your body. So grant, O God, that as we listen to your word today, it may be the Holy Spirit who will guide us and direct us into all the truth. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ. One evening, I ate dinner with a friend who looked me in the eye and said, "You know, I'm very concerned about my church. I've gone to that church for 40 years. And he said last Sunday there were 25 at worship. That church that he is referring to, where he was a charter member, was a break-off of a larger church in downtown. The people felt that if they would go out and start a mission church, and they sent good leadership along, that they could probably attract the people in the area. And then there would be two churches and more people would be hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the church has never seemed to be able to get numbers that were really quite sufficient. And as the days have gone on and the leadership has died or has moved away, it becomes a very, very difficult project. So this good friend of mine and a fine Christian gentleman, wants to know with tears in his eyes, what can you do to build a church? Now, it was obviously a temptation for me to begin to give him a lecture throughout the whole dinner. But what I had to say was of value only insofar as it was found in the Scriptures. And so I summarized for him at that particular time what I'd like to read for you. For I believe on the basis of the Word of God, this is a way that the Church of Jesus Christ from day one has been built. My scripture today and the text for this sermon is found in John 1, beginning with verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that he who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus said to them, following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. That was the way the church was established. One person telling another person about Jesus Christ. And notice here what John the Baptist is saying. "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." You can only go to that great truth in Scripture that Jesus has not only established his kingdom, but he has told us how to do it. Now there may be those who will ask, but is there no other way? And so just for our conversation here today, I would ask you, how did you become a part of your congregation? And you might say, "Well, I was raised in a rural area, or it was a small town, and it was an old family church. I was sort of born into the church." Another person might say, "Well, I tell you, I lived in Dallas, Texas, and I was hearing a great deal about one of these mega churches, that there were thousands and thousands of people who gathered there every Sunday to hear a great orator and to hear some fine programming around contemporary music and lights and everything else." And so I got curious, and I went. And as a result of that, I heard a word. And I believed that Jesus Christ had something to offer me. And that was the beginning of my getting into a relationship with God and belonging to the church. Another person could say, "Well, I think that public opinion had a lot to do with it for me. I heard people say, oh, what a church we have. What a marvelous, marvelous thing it is to belong to that congregation. And so I became very curious, and I went to check it out, and lo and behold, I found that it was true. And my husband and I joined there, and we're happy that we're there. And since coming there, we have met Jesus Christ, and he is a part of the church. Another said, well, I have had a great concern for my children. Neither my husband nor I were really raised in the church. Our parents did not belong to any formal congregation. Oh, they were religious people. They were good people. But I knew that we needed more for our children. And I heard that they had a very good Sunday school program, and the children enjoyed going there from other households, so why should we not try it too? Or then there's a person who says, well, I guess the reason that I'm a part of the church is that at work one day, a man simply invited me to come to church, and I went. And I went back again and again and again, and finally something happened to me, and I'm a member of the church. Another person told the story, and I've told this on Christian Crusaders before, but I'd love to tell it again. This man had become a professor of theology at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And it was back in the late 40s when I came in contact with Professor George Oss, a man who has done more probably to shape my life than not very many. He was a great, dynamic person. George Oss's father and mother had come from Norway and had established themselves in Brooklyn. There in Brooklyn, the father worked hard, and they had this one little boy, just a little guy. And so one day the neighbor, who was also of Norwegian descent, came over to Dr. Oss's father and mother and said, wouldn't you like to come along to church with us on Sunday? We have Norwegian services here, and I think you would really enjoy it. But George Oss's father said, yeah, I can't. I have to work on Sunday. My job demands 7 days, and we have to do this to pay the rent and keep the food on the table. Well, he said, maybe your wife would go along. And Mrs. Oss said, well, thank you, but I'm a rather shy person in a strange country, and I have decided that I'm not going to go until my husband goes. Well, then the man, persistent as he was, said, could I come and pick up your son and bring him to Sunday school? And they said, well, we'll think about that and we'll let you know. And they had a discussion about this in their home and decided that George could go with the neighbor to Sunday school. And there that little boy went. And he sat on the pews of Trinity Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, New York. And there he began to hear about Jesus. And Jesus grabbed that little guy's heart and on and on and on until he went on through college and then on to the theological seminary and on to get a doctorate and on to become a professor of those of us who had come there to learn to be pastors too. He was far more than simply a professor. He was a God servant who was sent there to be used by the Holy Spirit to grab the hearts of those of us who were there and to let us know that Jesus Christ was the only answer for life. Now take a look at how Jesus' ministry starts. Here is his good friend, John the Baptist. And one day he's out there preaching and Jesus walks by. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Now, what is he doing? He is telling them who Jesus is. He is a Lamb of God. that it was a prophecy that one day he would suffer and die on the cross as a payment for the sins of the world. And why did he come? In order to take the sins of the world away. He didn't say, look, one of the greatest men of history. You better get acquainted with him while he's in your midst. It's going to be something to watch him go. No, he did not know what the future was for Jesus, but he knew that he was not just another great man of history, but that he was a Lamb of God, and that he was a Savior of the world, and that his mission was to take away the sins of all of those who would come to him. So Jesus got Andrew's attention. Andrew had heard this. Andrew had a brother. And he went in and saw Jesus first and spent the entire day with him. And then finally he thought, as he was going back home, I got to go tell Peter. He went and told Peter exactly what he had experienced that day. He said, we have found the Messiah. You have to come. You have to come and see him. And so that's how Peter entered in to the presence of Christ. And there he met the Savior and came to know him as a very, very personal Lord and Redeemer, and became such a great blessing to the church. Now, they went from one to another, and the disciples of Jesus continued to grow. We know that there were thousands of people who followed him. They became interested in him and curious in those days, as many people are today. But their curiosity got no root. There was, for many of them, no confrontation with Jesus Christ. There was none of this where they really met him and, empowered by the Holy Spirit, received him and claimed him as Lord and Savior. I'd like to stop right here and say that that sometimes can happen in our day. We can bring many people into the church. They join the church like any other organization. But it isn't long before some of them drift away, and others of them do not even come back for the second time. I have brought a lot of people into the church, and many of them never lasted. Oh, they went through a membership class, and we had a reception for them, and they were pretty happy for a little while, but then there was no more to it, and soon they went away. And we haven't seen them in many cases since then. Is that all wrong? Well, there are two kinds of congregations. There are those who seem to take people in without too much work. All you have to do is go through these few classes and show up on Sunday morning when the congregation is receiving new members, and you become a part of that church. Now, that's not all bad. For in that contact with the church, whether at a worship service or class or socially with new friends met at the church, the Holy Spirit can work. And many thousands of these people become great followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as their Savior and their Lord. But neither are we to delude ourselves and think that all who belong to the church are saved. That simply is not so, all who belong to that organized church. For you see, the true church, friend, is that company of believers who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and have been baptized into his name. Only God knows how many there are. I used to once in a while say to my wife, how many people do you think in our congregation are Christian? How many am I going to be preaching to tomorrow, if it were on a Saturday, who know the Lord Jesus in a very special way? And she, being a very gracious person, went on to say, oh, I think so many, and I'll not give the percentage, because it was all very facetious, only God himself knew that. But as we visited and laughed a little bit about it, I made sure. I took the 50-50, and I don't mean that that was a ratio at all. I'll preach to 50% of the people who know Christ and are saved, and 50% of the people who do not know him, wonderful people. and probably seeking real hard, but yet have not yet come to that place of claiming Him as their Redeemer and their Lord. So I was always very concerned, right or wrong, and some have said that I was judgmental, and maybe I was, but I'd rather err that way. I always tried to have something for the unbeliever as well as for the believer. We are anxious to tell the story of Jesus, and that has to be told in a very personal way. The member of the church, in most cases, will point to a person or a group of people who had a great deal to do with his or her becoming a part of that church and a convert to Christianity. I had not long ago said to a fellow, "Remember when you joined the church?" "Oh," he said, "the greatest day in my life." He said, "You know, isn't it interesting that the Lord could not just use you?" And that's right, He couldn't. He said, "You created a real interest in the Christian faith for me when you stood there in the pulpit, but it didn't seem to do anything until the day that you sent a couple to our home, and they sat down and across the table told us what Jesus had done for them. That day, the Holy Spirit took that word, and it entered into my heart, and I have been a new person ever since. They shared God's love, and then they went on to someone else. That's the way it works." So that is a primary way God builds His church. And this is not something that I have come up with. This is not, well, this is, they could say, Larson's way of doing it. Not at all. This is a way that the Word of God speaks. Remember what Jesus said, "Go and make disciples by baptizing and teaching." We have to baptize, but we have to teach. We have to sit down with small groups, and that's why it's necessary for us to have all kinds of groups in the church where the message is on Jesus Christ and what He has done. On Thursday mornings, I sit with 25 or 30 men. We're having a marvelous time as we go over some of these great teachings of the church. And now we see them being cemented more and more into the faith. Is your church growing? We're now not talking about a number game, but we're talking about winning the unbelievers. Could you identify with my good friend who said, "I'm very concerned about my church. Last Sunday there were only a small number there. And is it going to die, and what can we do?" If you want to know, friend, you have to ask yourself a very penetrating question. Are those of you in your congregation who know the Lord Jesus on a regular basis inviting people to Christ, to the church, so that they can learn about Him there, in order that the Holy Spirit might do His work and they might be saved? There are many different attractions at the church, but most of those who are attracted by other than this personal testimony will not last very long. So if you want your church to grow, and I guess that's what I said to my friend, then if the 25 of you are committed to Christ, get into that neighborhood and begin to talk to people about Christ and just see what He will do. For the main reason when a church is dying is that the people in that congregation have not played the role of an Andrew and told others about the Savior. Amen.
Breathe on.
Lord Jesus, before your throne of grace, we come today and ask that your presence may be felt with those who are sick, those who stand beside them, those for whom death draws nigh. Grant, O God, that that invitation that you love them might have rung into their ears, and that in their soul they might know that you await them on the other side. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the world. Many of our listeners are not aware that Christian Crusaders must purchase its own radio to air time in order to broadcast biblical truth each and every week. Please consider, if you are in a position to do so, sending a financial gift. In this way, you become a partner in carrying out our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. God's blessings to each of you. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.